Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Weirdly cool perpetrators, playground, Rebel Family Now Radio.
And that's who we are.
No, not anymore, Bebop. There's been a format change.
Mr. Producer, do we have a new focus group?
Yeah, they focus us up real good this time.
Well, what are we now?
Coming at you, Bob, man.
Extreme, no sense of humor, aggressive, in your face, Now Radio.
Oh, man.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
This is Luke.
And this is Carrie.
And you're listening to...
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Yay. Episode 94.
On November... Friday, November 22nd, 2013.
So, we're going to kick off this episode by letting you know that we are trying something new. We're going to...
Hey, I'm mayor.
What? Oh, you're the mayor of Apollo Grill?
Yes.
So, cool.
You're like, so I don't care.
Well, you need like a mayor sash and like a mayor hat and a monocle and stuff so that you can be all mayoral or something.
They actually have crowns for mayors.
Oh, crowns.
Because, of course,
weird.
Mayors wear crowns.
So, anyway, following the example of such podcasts as The Flopcast and The Scope... And even
many others.
Yeah, and even the way me and Kyle have been doing the new cartoons podcast.
Even The Nerdist.
To some degree. We're going to try doing something a little different now. We're going to try
to... Are we doing the timing thing that you usually do?
Well, we started talking right when it started, so I can just use that for this segment anyway.
Okay.
So we're going to try recording two episodes of the podcast at a time. By doing about four segments in a row. Each segment will be about 20 to 30 minutes, and then basically post the episodes like as two segments each with about four songs each. So each episode will be shorter, but we'll be recording them once a month and, you know, trying to give you a more compacted bit of, you know, interesting stuff to listen to instead of, you know...
And also it takes less time out of our lives away from our children and cats and spouses.
Yeah.
And weekends and stuff. And also it's in, it's inversely proportional to our last episode where, you know, we recorded one episode in three segments. Now we're trying to record two episodes in one sitting, so...
Yeah, and that whole idea of getting together at the Apollo Grill and the Highview and then at the Apollo Grill again while somebody was watching Alex was basically kind of an experiment to see if we could pull off recording like that. So that way we can, you know, have a more concentrated effort on making this show have content that you listeners that we still have will find interesting and entertaining. So,
I mean, you know, if me and Alex want to start our own podcast, we can, but...
Yeah, I mean, this is not to say that by any means Alex or anybody else has banished forever from the podcast. I just wanted to kind of get us in a groove, because I really, really enjoy the Flopcast with Kevin and Cornflake. I wish you had the time to listen to it.
Me too. Because
they do about...
Them as people. I mean,
they're
both just so adorable and hilarious.
Yes, but, like, it's like, out of all the shows I listen to every week, it's like theirs is, like... You know, the most guaranteed, you know, fun to listen to from beginning to end. And I realize that Kevin puts a lot more editing effort into that show than I do into Bad Rapport. But I still want to, you know, follow their example and try to figure out a way to make this show, you know, more compact, more concentrated with content that folks will find interesting to listen to. Still have, you know, the awesome, funny songs people like. And the Luke and Carrie content people like. And hopefully somewhere along the line, we'll say stuff that's funny that people will laugh at.
Yes. At least we'll continue to be tolerable.
Yes.
Very least.
As I've said before, it's not so much that I'm trying to grow our audience. It's just more like I want to keep the audience we have and not have them, to stop listening to us.
I don't think it's just about our audience. It's about our spouses. As both Josh and then Sarah have said, like... snarky or whatever things about us recording every other Sunday and everything.
Well, yeah, it's like because Sarah works a regular 9-to-5 Monday through Friday day job, and then my job is pretty much Friday night and all day Saturday. So I, you know, I stopped attempting to draw caricatures at Ed's on Sundays.
So that you could spend time with your wife.
Yeah, so that Sarah and I could actually have one day of the week to spend together, and, you know, barring, you know, any of the high-paying caricature party gigs that I might get, because, of course, that's worth the money. So, you know, recently when working on, you know, previous episodes and also the big episode 93, you know, Sarah was just kind of like, you know, it's really annoying me that every other Sunday, you know, you're gone off recording podcasts.
At least she was more direct about it rather than saying snarky things like Josh did. You know, Josh was all jealous of my rich and active social life.
Yes.
Hey, let's get into the topic of this segment.
Let's get into it. So basically, we hope you all enjoy it. You know, give us your feedback on it after you've heard this episode and the next one or whatever.
Hey, Luke, what have you been up to since October 14th?
All right.
Jamie's mom said God's a woman. That's not true, right?
Well, honey, different religions believe different things. Let's see which one makes sense to you. Catholics believe the Pope is magic when he sits in his fancy chair. They eat God's body once a week. It tastes like paper, but they don't care. Don't stay late at church or you might end up with a priest in a dark room. Jesus wants your donations. He came to earth so he could die.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then we'll move on. Have you heard of Islam? Allah will judge the infidels. Muhammad flew on a white horse. The rules are from 610 AD, but they try to follow them still, of course. Men can have a lot of wives. Women must be covered from head to toe. There's fasting, stoning, and a space rock. They kill anyone who burns their book.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then we'll move on. There are other options. Gotta know what works for you. It's smart to learn before you choose. If you pick a religious view,
it's gotta make sense. It's gotta make sense.
Jews believe God speaks Hebrew. He cares what they do and say. He gets mad if they write his name or answer the phone on Saturday. He likes playing pranks on people. Told Abraham to kill his son. A savior will come, the dead will rise, then the world will be perfect till the end of time.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then we'll move on. The next one's really wacky. Human bodies are packed with thetans. They had many past lives in space. Don't use science, use Dianetics. Get an e-meter and know your place. 75 million years ago, Lord Xenu put people on Earth. Stuck an H-bomb in a volcano. Now he's trapped inside a mountain.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, then we'll move on. But they get to meet Travolta. Well, why don't you tell us what does make sense then? Einstein made cranky pants.
Satan was the serpent in the Garden of Eden. He and his demons are everywhere. I will grow more powerful and spread his darkness and despair. The devil tells us to destroy religions, except for his, cause it's the best. And sometimes we please him by taking drugs, killing humans and drinking their blood.
That doesn't make sense.
It does make sense.
Take a shit on the dance floor. I know you want more. Drop a deuce out your back door. Take a shit on the dance floor. I know you want more. Drop a deuce out your back door.
Now we party hard when we're going to the bar. Don't forget your card, ASA. Our rewards on Perignon. Blowing, you're a superstar. You're going far from Ohio to Myanmar. Buy out the bar. Now you're really getting tipsy. And you never know just where your lips be. Miss me? I hope not the one that like a gypsy. I'm shining on stage like I'm EPP, see? Can you see me or is your vision getting blurred? Got a turtle head poking, now I see you getting scared. Don't hurt the turd. Now you know it's preferred that the floor's fertilized. Stop being absurd. That's no bean curd, it's a turd so clearly. Now they piling up on the floor so dearly. Sincerely, please got it piling up nearly. Up to the ceiling so neat and austerely. Merely reminiscent, two girls, one cup. Got the people on the floor all saying, what's up? Throwing up from the smell that's gurgling. I can tell you're a floor shit virgin. Purging your stomach, you can drink more drinks. If you wanna vomit, got plenty of sinks. Drop your deuce, doesn't matter who thinks. It's a shitty situation, fuck them, they stink. Take a shit on the dance floor. I know you'll want more. Drop a deuce out your back door. Take a shit on the dance floor. I know you'll want more. Drop a deuce out your back door.
I made a little dance, and this is how you do it. Squat down to the ground like you're actually pooing, then actually poo. Process completed. No further steps needed unless you want to repeat it. Heed it, our words. Cliff did, and that dude gets plenty of chicks in the club. Scat music was never like this before, for our Harold can't be compared. Call her Smell of Shit's Gerald. Don't giggle at the moniker, that'll get you duked on. Go grab a coupon for beans, we about to get our toot on. I mean, this'll get you shit, brah. This is about to be the smelliest bar mitzvah ever. I never wear briefs, easier to go commando. When I step to the floor, so short and low. The portmanteaus accepted here are sharp and dupe. I made the last one up, it's to dance while you poop. You can Superman that hoe, but let a dookie slip the pant leg. You'd like electric slide and diarrhea, though I shan't beg. I can't explain how good it feels to Cupid shuffle through the thigh-high fart partner. Poop is shuffled by the shitload upon the dance floor. It fills up my pants more, I dance more than I dance more. Perchance you could tell me why you're urinating dog. Why are you trying to get me thrown out of the synagogue?
Take a shit on the dance floor. I know you want more. Drop a deuce out your back door. Take a shit on the dance floor. I know you want more. Drop a deuce out your back door.
Hey yo, stuck down a mine shaft. Can you tell me what did you do with your poop and your pee? When you were stuck down a mine shaft, literally, did you make a friend when you were lonely?
Yes, I did. I made a shit snowman. The best part about the arrangement is that no man could halt us from getting our waltz on. It was sweet. The new dance floor craze result of this retreat.
Repeat your story. Did you build yourself a dance floor inside your pants? Did you will yourself to prance more?
I can't soar out. I'm not the Icarus of Scat. I tried to make shit wings, but those shit things fell flat. That begat the idea to escape the cold black. So my crap dance floor, when laid out, went splat.
Thank you for explaining. Now instruct the masses how to construct a dance floor from their asses.
Class is in session, so prepare your pens and your Fiber One cereal and box of Depends. Pretend to understand the key is controlling it. Deuce on the ground, liberally apply rolling pin.
Once you affix the floor, get your shoes on. This is a scat version of a Groupon. Make sure you eat three bags full of crouton. I'm sure we'll know if you ate Grey Poupon.
Take a shit on the dance
floor. Drop a big shit on the dance floor. I know you want more, girl.
Drop a deuce on your back door.
Take a shit.
Take a
shit on the dance floor. Take a shit on the motherfucking dance floor. Drop it out.
What?
Yeah, that's right. We're dropping the new dance hits. Yeah, that's right. 2D6.
2D6 bringing all the fucking jams. What you gonna do? You gonna hide them jams in your pants? No, motherfucker. You gonna jam to them jams. I don't know, even know what fucking going on right now. Fuck. Shit.
This episode and the next one or whatever.
Hey, Luke, what have you been up to since October 14th?
All right, so let me time myself here. Part of this new format thing is I'm going to try to keep summarizations of things like conventions incredibly short. So let's
brevity
see.
Brevity is your strong suit.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to get through everything I've been up to in the past month or so, you know, outside of recording the previous podcast, in about 10 minutes. So... Count on the Cob happened. Got to hang out with Ukla the Mock and do karaoke with Adam and Rand, and that was a lot of fun. It's always cool to see those guys and spend some time with them. If you want to hear a full report on everything that happened at Count on the Cob, listen to, I can't remember which episode number it is, but a few weeks ago...
The Fumpcast, right?
The Fumpcast, we had Mike Buechler. I asked him to... to send an audio file into the podcast of him reviewing The Weeknd.
Oh, he was
because
there.
He was the fan. He was the one person who showed up who wasn't either an artist or came
Entourage.
With an artist. Yeah, so he was the, you know, one
oh,
guy
boy.
Who was there. So he did a rather nice review of everything that happened at Con of the Cop. And of course, you know,
good people.
Shy Show was there, 2D6 was there, they all did great shows and it was fun. Went to see Riff Trax, Night of the Living Dead. That was really cool. I'm looking forward to the next Riff Trax, which is going to be Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which is awesome because that means MST3K, Cinematic Titanic, and Riff Trax will all have done separate versions of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. So that'll be cool. So yeah, as some of you may have surmised from episode 93, Sarah and I went to see Garfunkel and Oates, and I stupidly forgot that their show was on Friday night and not on Saturday night, so that's how come all of a sudden in the middle of our 10th anniversary recording, we were like, oh crap, I was on the wrong night because...
Speaking of our 10th anniversary recording...
we're going to get into that later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it in this episode, though?
Well, I wasn't planning on... I was going to read the comments for episode 93
oh, okay.
in the next episode, but we can talk about it now
yeah,
if you want.
I just want to make sure it's in this episode, not in the next episode.
Yeah, so if you want to talk about it now, go ahead.
Well, you know... I was listening to the 10th anniversary special, and I was like, wait, what? He cut what? And then I'm like, wait, he cut that too? And then I just got pretty pissy, and I was, let's just say, surprised that the extent to which that episode was censored. So... Luke, because he didn't want to deal with an argument, he just wanted to make me happy immediately, put up the uncensored version of the show briefly. And having read the...
Well, technically it's still there, so...
Technically it's still available, but it's not the main thing. Because the reactions to... Some of the reactions I got, like, for instance, Ian's comment on saying, wait... That was the censored version? Oh, boy. You know, so I'm just kind of like, wait, oh, so everybody already thinks I'm a giant turbo slut and they haven't even listened to the uncensored version, so I guess we'll make the uncensored version something you have to ask for. I'm still not done listening to it, but I had to start all over to listen to the uncensored version so that I wouldn't continually get pissed off listening to the censored version. And I'm still not done listening
but
I just feel like the flow is so much better with the uncensored version, and the censored version is just like kind of choppy and random, and you're just kind of like, wait, what? Weren't they just talking about something completely different?
Well, I don't think it was that bad, but basically, unlike most episodes of Bad Report, I actually sat and listened to, you know, all the content we recorded, which was 3.5 hours of content, I mean, not only editing out things that I thought were, you know, too hot for TV, but I also, you know, edited out, you know, conversations with the wait staff and loud clanking plate noises and stuff like that. So so the uncensored version has everything, including the song. So it's basically, I threw it up on the podcast feed, and then, it was up on the official feed for, you know, only a few hours in the middle of the night, one night over WindyCon weekend. And then we put back the original version, and I just emailed the direct link to the download the uncut version to the people on the Facebook thread who had said that they were interested.
Some of them
had said that yes, they were definitely interested, and in fact, they were going to finish listening to the first version before they started over and listened to the uncut version.
I didn't know that. Who was going to do that?
Yeah. So I think both Kyle and Cornflake said they were going to do that. So so I'm sure. They're going to have comments for us, you know, eventually once they get through to that point. So, you know, I didn't mean to, you know, upset
Carrie.
Yeah,
I overreacted, but I was just kind of like, you know, I 3 nights of my life and, you know, babysitting money and 3 restaurant meals and then I tune in to listen to the events the way I remember it, and I'm getting weird messages, like one from Ken who's like, I should do the running commentary of this and post that somewhere, because he didn't know it was the censored version. And then the other comment from Wayne, where he was like, wow, you were really together a lot shorter than I realized. And I'm like, that's because Luke made it sound shorter than it was.
Well, most of the stuff that was edited out that was too hot for TV is in the front half of the episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it gets to the back half, it's you know, much less. But anyways, I
felt like we were censoring ourselves with what we said enough as it was, you know. I mean, there was plenty that wasn't said, that wasn't mentioned, that wasn't...
Well, I wasn't trying to offend. I just, as I was listening to it, I was just erring on the
cautious
side.
The point is, if you are listening and you want the uncensored version, you got to hit us up and we'll give you the info.
Yeah, so just now, email badreport@gmail.com and just say, hey, I want the link to the uncensored version, and I will send it to you immediately.
So now you have 8 more minutes from now to finish up your wrap-up of your life.
So anyway, the point was, the first of the 3 days we recorded, because when I sat down to record that first day, I thought we were going to get it all in one day. I didn't realize it was going to
be that long. And you went to
Garfunkel & Oates. So because Carrie mentioned that Ken had mentioned that, oh, Garfunkel & Oates are performing tonight, and then I looked at the thing, and I'm like, oh snap, that it is tonight. And then I basically had to head back home, pick up Sarah, and then we went to see Garfunkel & Oates, and their show was a lot shorter than I expected it to be, but it was pretty darn awesome. It was at the Abbey Pub, which I'm assuming you've been to before.
I think I saw MC Chris there once.
Yeah. So, it was a standing rooms. It was standing seating, so I wasn't actually sitting down, but it's like $25 to get in and, you know, just stand on the side. So they did an awesome, hilarious show. They also, the night before, they had a song that they had written for the TV show The Big Bang Theory. It was like a love song that Howard was singing to his wife, Bernadette. And they wrote that song. And Howard like sang it and played the piano and stuff, and he like got it on the first take, and he was, it's totally cute and wonderful, and I'll probably play it in this episode. But they wrote it, so they actually,
that's
like
cool.
Some fans in the audience, like, you know, kind of requested that Garfunkel & Oates perform the song, and they hadn't really rehearsed it, but they managed to like get through it. They had to stop a couple times to think, like, wait, what's the next part? Oh yeah, and then they went into it. So
yeah,
that was a, you know, kind of cool bonus track to
I'm
see them
to
do.
Get to go. I enjoy everything I've ever heard of theirs.
Yeah,
ever.
So and they set up their merch table after the show, and there were only 2 CDs there, both of which I already own.
Yeah.
So, but I still wanted to like say hi to them, because that was part of the reason why Sarah and I strategically set ourselves up right by their merch table, so that we could be at the front of the line. So I had email contact with Kate McCucci before, because I had to ship them the Logan Award they won. So and as some of you might know, because I think I played it on Bad Rapport, Garfunkel & Oates have a song about not recognizing people that you've met before or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's called I Don't Know Who You Are, I think. And they did that song on the show. So we're waiting there, and I was about to like talk to them so I could say hi and try to get a picture with them. And Kate looks at me, and she's like, do I know you? I think I know you from somewhere. And I'm like, oh, I'm Lukeski. I sent you the Logan Award, the cat statue. And they both were immediately like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And like, then some other fans kind of got in because they wanted a picture. But then after that, Kate said, like, yeah, the day that showed up in the mail, and I don't know if this was like an eBay purchase or some other thing in their life, but the same day that they got the robot cat statue, they also had gotten a little statue or something of a dog in the mail. So they got a cat and a dog on the same day. So apparently they put them both up on the same shelf next to each other, where they still sit today.
But do they live together or something?
I don't know if they live together, but, you know. But, you know, it was just so cool to, like, have Kate recognize me from only having met me through email and maybe seen my picture on a website or something. So
that's cool.
And the fact that they seem genuinely appreciative to have won the award. So,
yeah.
So that was very, you know, my cool moment. And I got a picture with them, too. So, yay. Halloween happened, and I hung out at Carrie's for a while, and then I went home and gave out candy for a while, and that was about it.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll talk about that more.
I guess.
Dr. Demento was on a radio station in L.A. of 100.3 The Sound or something like that, and they were doing a tribute to the classic L.A. station KMET, which Dr. Demento was on for 15 years, doing the show live. So he did a live show on a Sunday night, and coming out of a commercial break thingy, he played the ID from MarsCon that's like, "Hi, we're MarsCon!" And so, actually, I'll just edit it in right here.
Okay, all right, let's bring in that crowd. The spots did not spot. Yeah, Captain Clack has struck. Yes! Yeah, he's clapped.
Hi,
Clack is back.
We're MarsCon, and you're listening to the Dr. Nando Show!
Now, that was a crowd at a science fiction fan convention in Minneapolis called MarsCon. I will be at that convention next spring, in March, I believe it is, and I'm also going to be at the Fump Fest in Chicago in June, so we'll look forward to that.
So, yeah, as you just heard, Dr. Demento spilled the beans. It was going to be a big surprise for everybody, but I guess it slipped his mind, so since that...
Or he didn't know.
I'm pretty sure he knew, but he didn't. It just, you know, when you're on the air, sometimes things just shoot out of your mouth. So after that happened and a bunch of the people listening live and chatting on Facebook or in the Metro Radio chat room were all like, "What? He's going to be at MarsCon?" Blah! You know.
I'm glad it's not a secret.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I would have loved to have gotten the surprise footage for the documentary because that would have been great to be like, "Oh, look, he's here!" And then, like, the whole crowd goes nuts, which was the whole point of trying to make it a surprise.
Yeah.
But once the cat was out
but
of the bag.
Be a bigger crowd now, hopefully.
Yeah. Now, so now once the cat got out of the bag and I contacted Devin, the director, and I'm like, "Well, should we start telling people what's happening?" And he's like, "Ah, sure, we might as well." So now we're officially promoting it. So yes, Dr. Demento will be making an appearance at MarsCon.
Yay!
He will not be doing the big Festival of Dementia thing. He'll be doing that at FumpFest. Basically, he'll be part of the Q&A we do at MarsCon about Under the Smongberry Tree. So he'll be taking fan questions, and they'll be filming that for the documentary. And then we're also going to set up an autograph session so you can get autographs with Dr. D. And, you know, and he and the crew of Smogberry Trees will just be kind of hanging out on Friday and Saturday at the convention. So get psyched. And remember, Henry Phillips will also be there. And as long as I'm mentioning it, I might as well list off some other people who are also going to be performing at MarsCon. So officially booked for MarsCon are Possible Oscar, Power Salad, TV's Kyle, Insane Ian, Worm Quartet, Carrie Dalby, Devo Spice, The Great Luke Ski, and Beth Kinderman and the Player Characters will all be performing at MarsCon this year. So, hopefully by the time this posts, I will have updated that information at the website, because yes. It isn't up yet. So,
I knew that all that already, right?
Yes, okay. Yes. WindyCon was pretty awesome. We set up the FumpFest fan table, which I thought looked pretty darn cool.
And I went for an hour.
Yay! And over the course of the weekend, we sold 9 memberships for FumpFest, which was great, and gave out a bunch of candy, musical instruments. I showed hours upon hours of Fump music videos and just chatted it up, and we made posters, we made professional cards, and me and Sarah, you know, we got a professional banner made, and just, you know, we're going to try to have this FumpFest fan table set up at the other Chicago conventions, CapriCon, Sci-Fi, and DuckCon, so that we can help promote the convention some more and get some more people there. And then Sarah and I went to see Paul and Storm, which was really cool to see them again. They actually saw them do some new songs, and they just launched a Kickstarter, which was funded within 3 hours, and now is like at, you know.
I got in on it, too.
Yeah. Like $55,000, so it was, you know, really cool. So awesome time to, you know, hang out with them again. I actually gave them the Learning Town drawing caricature I did for that video I did for Learning Town way back when.
Yeah.
So I gave them the actual drawing, and they seemed really happy to have gotten it. Last night, I went to see Gilbert Gottfried perform live for the first time since, you know, the 90s, and I actually mustered up the gumption to get him to autograph this piece of Iago the Parrot artwork that I bought at Disney World, and I also gave him a puffy envelope which had a fan letter and an original unopened copy of Worst Album Ever in it, in the fan letter explaining who I am and what I do, and that impersonating him has, you know, been a recurring thing throughout my career. So I hope he... You know, it would be really cool if he, you know, responded to it. But nonetheless, I did get a picture with him.
At least you can hope that he doesn't respond and then respond negatively.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was you know, meeting and greeting with fans after the show and being very nice, and he seemed like a very appreciative dude. And I was going all fanboy, but I was keeping it fairly internalized. So that's cool. And the only other thing I want to mention right now is that I finally have launched my Bandcamp page. It's lukeski.bandcamp.com. So far, I only have 2 albums up. By the time this posts, hopefully I'll have more albums up. But I'm not going to give it a huge push until Cyber Monday, when hopefully I'll have my whole, you know, Lukeski library up at Bandcamp. And also possibly some other nifty things that I'll keep under wraps for now. So just keep an eye on my website and my email updates and Facebook updates around about Cyber Monday to let you know what's up with that. So that's what I've been up to. How about what you've been up to?
Well, other than parenting, not a whole damn much as usual. I recorded a cameo for an upcoming Devo Spice song, and I went to choir one night at night. It was after that time I was recording with you, and mm-hmm. basically what happens if I leave the house at night is Alex wakes up about 2 hours into it and cries for about 30 seconds, and then Josh does something to make him smile, and then he gets up and goes and plays and watches videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's fine, but I really don't like putting him... I mean, it already takes an hour to get him to bed at night, every night. And so to do it twice in one night, I find myself not really excited about trying to repeat that scenario. But right now I'm planning to go to a rehearsal in early December where I'm just going to let Alex stay up late and I'll just leave the rehearsal a little early. And then I have an idea for committing to the vocal group Court and Country that I saw at WindyCon last year. But I probably won't be able to implement that plan until like early March, mid to late March. But hopefully it'll happen so I can get some... you know, non-parenting, non-this podcast things going on in my life. But Alex is awesome. He's, as his babysitter put it, almost sounding like a child, not just sounding like a baby. You know, his speech is just taking leaps and bounds. He almost speaks in complete sentences, and a lot of... Not all or most, but much of what he says is actually intelligible, you know. And he's right now his favorite compliment is to be told that he makes very funny jokes. So I guess he's a little budding comedian. And, you know, he always has a favorite compliment of the hour, and that's his favorite one. He wants to be told he makes very funny jokes. He makes lots of ha-has and hee-hees, ho-hos, hoo-hoos, he-he-hes, and hearty-har-hars. And he's a funny joker, he's a funny jokester. And mommy's a funny joker. So it's an important distinction that he's the jokester and mommy's the joker. And we've been going to a new class where things are actually encouraging instead of discouraging. We have gone to 3 classes at the Villa Park Park District, and he's really coming out of his shell. He even tapped another boy his age on the shoulder yesterday morning, like, wow. You know, as if he was going to actually interact with this boy. So, I mean, he was... he's really almost acting like, you know, regular Alex, even though we're in a classroom full of children and random strangers and stuff. It's pretty awesome. But words aren't going to really adequately explain that class because it's just all, you know, colors and sounds. Halloween was, you know, no trick-or-treating happened, predominantly because of the rain, even more so than because of Alex's age. And the $30 costume, you know, got worn a grand total of 15 minutes, and that included the time that he put it on before that.
So at least I got some of that on video, because that was fun. He seemed to enjoy wearing it the first time.
Yeah. But
in his cute little monkey costume.
But what Halloween really ended up being all about was splashing in puddles. When Mommy wanted to run outside and look for rainbows, and I didn't see any rainbows, but Alex saw a puddle and was already in it before I could stop him. And I have video of him splashing. I should probably get it on YouTube because right now it's just in my phone. And we're gearing up for a quiet Thanksgiving at a restaurant. Anything else Alex related that I should be saying?
It's still, I mean, maybe, I don't know, it still blows me away to see him walk, you know, find the iPad, open it, hit the button to turn on the screen, hit the video button to turn on the video player, and then hit play to start watching Thomas the Tank Engine.
Well,
the fact that he's that young and knows how to operate an iPad.
And then there's his train puzzles that he can just cruise through and do all these little puzzles on either my phone or the tablet, Josh's Nexus, which will... The topic of Josh's Nexus will come up in the second segment here, but
yeah,
the segment's almost 30 minutes.
Okay.
One more
Alex thing is that, you know, to me, as in, you know, outside observer of, you know, a friend of mine having a kid, it's like there's an all-important...
You're definitely not just an outside observer.
Well,
but yeah.
Okay. You know, it's like, you know, out of, you know, all the kind of important questions when it comes to raising your child, it's like, you know, are we going to, you know, teach this child religion? Are we going to homeschool him or public school? And to me, one of the very important questions is, what franchise of toys and shows and merch is this child going to be into, you know, he seems to have made his decision. He seems to be both very much into Thomas the Tank Engine and also the Disney Pixar Cars line, because he in particular likes the character of Mater.
He really likes Mater, and he really likes construction equipment, trucks.
Yeah.
But nothing, you know, he doesn't love anything as much as he loves frickin' Thomas.
Yeah. So. I never watched Thomas. I guess it came after my time to be into shows like that. Plus, it was from England. So, you know, I'm just now getting familiar with the cast of Thomas and, you know, characters and stuff. And, you know, I find it all, you know, interesting and fun and cute and stuff. So,
yeah.
You know.
So you're going with Thomas for Christmas.
Well, you know, I also want to support his love of Mater and the Cars line, because, you know, I like the Cars franchise, universe, etc. Does he still like Yo Gabba Gabba?
He's not super into it. I mean, he plays with his little Muno doll, but anytime I mention putting it on TV, he doesn't want me to.
Hmm.
He likes a couple of the songs, but, I mean, keep in mind, he's got a birthday coming up, and we've got plenty of time to get him other things.
Yeah,
so.
There's a Yo Gabba Gabba live holiday show at the Rosemont in mid-December.
I want to go, but I don't think he's ready. I don't think he'd be into it.
Okay, well, let's wrap up this segment, and
say one more thing. The other night when we came over to your house, me and Alex and Josh and you and Sarah and Ken and Aaron, and we were, you know, having lots of fun antics with Alex, and the thing that sticks in my mind the most is when we were all sitting around the dinner table and Alex goes, "All family dinner."
That was pretty cool. It's like we kind of suddenly
guess what? Your family.
Yes. and you know, apologies to Jared Perez and anyone else in the area who wasn't there. We weren't excluding you. We didn't realize it was going to kind of turn into a sort of early Thanksgiving for Chicago area friends.
Yeah,
and
we
stuff.
Didn't mean it to be a Thanksgiving. It was
plus
just
that was
like,
that was
hey,
the day
get together with some of the people Alex is most comfortable with.
And that was the day of, like, the psycho weather was happening, so even if we had invited others, it would have been, like, you know, better for them to have stayed home anyway. But did you want to mention Alex has named your album, or do you want to...
I don't know if I'm going to tell you the name of the album that Alex selected yet, but I am planning to be doing a Kickstarter and Indiegogo in the near future, and hoping to get it out at MarsCon or... If not MarsCon, then definitely
we're hoping she's hoping to release the album at MarsCon. The fundraiser would be before
that's
that.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. All right, so let's have a break here with some songage, and we'll be back with more Bad Rapport.
Yeah.
If I didn't have you, life would be blue. I'd be Doctor Who without the TARDIS.
Is it me or does she not look so good?
Candle without a wick, a Watson without a crick. I'd be one of my outfits without a dicky. I'd be cheese without the Mac, Jobs without the Wozniak. I'd be solving exponential equations that use basis not found on your calculator, making much harder to crack. I'd be an atom without a bomb, a dot without the com, and I'd probably still live with my mom.
And he'd probably still live with his mom.
Ever since I met you, you turned my world around. You supported all my dreams and all my hopes. You're like uranium-235 and I'm uranium-238. Almost inseparable isotopes. I couldn't have imagined how good my life would get from the moment that I met you, Bernadette. If I didn't have you, life would be dreary. I'd be string theory without any string. I'd be binary code without a one, a cathode ray two without an electron gun. I'd be Firefly buffing Avengers without Joss Whedon. I'd speak a lot more Klingon, Kaloknecht Cockjodge Vong.
And he'd definitely still live with his mom.
Ever since I met you, you turned my world around. You're my best friend and my lover. We're like changing electric and magnetic fields. You can't have one without the other. I couldn't have imagined how good my life would get from the moment that I met you, Bernadette.
There you go, there you go, there you go, peanut butter jelly.
Ricky Clark does it again. Downtown Brown and the Wicked Clowns coming with the jam.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hold still.
Because occasionally we review things in media, because that's what the caption on our website says.
Well, more importantly, occasionally I consume things in media.
Yes.
Especially since I've started borrowing Josh's Android Nexus tablet more and more often. And I'm one episode behind on Saturday Night Live this season, and I'm one episode behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I am playing Plants vs. Zombies 2 on it. So, yay for media consumption.
That is super awesome, because I like it when, you know, you watch shows and stuff so
Me
that
too.
We can talk about the shows
I've been
that
wanting
we've been
to
watching.
Watch more things, but I've been getting really tired really early, and there may be a medical reason for that, but that's all I'll say right now. I'm still looking into what's going on with me medically. But which one should we talk about first? You want me to
talk about PVZ2? Yeah, talk about Plants vs. Zombies 2. It's about time.
It's awesome. There are Egyptian scenes. There's three worlds: the Egyptian world, the pirate world, and the Wild West cowboy world. And supposedly there's more worlds to come, and it's probably not going to be available for PC because it's all like pay-to-play kind of stuff, but you really can just buy the game for 99 cents, and mm-hmm. you don't have to keep buying other things. You can enjoy and play the game without buying things. So, and you can do that with Candy Crush also, as I've been forcing myself to do lately, because Candy Crush is a wallet stealer. Mm-hmm. But the graphics are gorgeous. There's this one kind of recurring joke with the way Crazy Dave presents his body, where he goes like this.
He just kind of flops out his gut or something like that?
He just flops the same way every time, and it takes about like 5 seconds before they get on with the action, because they want you to see him flop every single time he gets into the screen. That gets a little annoying, but okay. I gotta go get my salad.
Okay, go get your salad. This is the part where Carrie gets her salad. So I've been playing, the draw something game for quite a while now, and it hit a point with me where, I had spent some money to get, more coins so I could buy more colors or buy more bombs or whatever, and then I just decided that I didn't want to spend money on draw something anymore. So I just, last year when they had their December thing where they were giving away free coins and stuff every day.
I never spent money on draw something, I don't think.
Yeah. So basically I kind of amassed a whole bunch of money when they did that whole draw-sember thing or whatever it was, so that I could buy like 50 bombs and then basically use those sparingly so I could buy another 50 bombs, which I'm almost have enough coins to get, so that hopefully I really won't need to spend money on that game ever again. And I know there's a second version of it that I should probably download, whatever.
I've been meaning to try it. We should try it together.
Okay.
Let's try it this weekend.
All right.
Okay.
I'll make a note of that. Draw something too.
Basically, it's this Plants vs. Zombies 2 is the same old game you know and love with, but it does things differently. I do miss the store and the ability to use, fake coins to buy things rather than, the coins only do 3 boosts, and you have to play the game to understand what that means, but it's fun, it's quality, it's what you would expect from PopCap and the makers of the first game, and the thing I really am looking forward to is they're supposedly going to continue making worlds so that they can continue building onto the game.
Yeah,
so
with the whole time travel premise, it's like you could really just...
You can just go on forever. And so, when you get an update of your game... I can't wait to see what else they're going to do with it. But I love all of the new zombies, and there's some new plants, and it's a great game.
Awesome.
Same old great game, with new stuff so that you won't be bored by playing the first one over and over. So, I'm done with that review.
Okay.
Review now.
Well, we could talk about Saturday Night Live. This season is, as Tina Fey said in the opening monologue of the first episode, it's a rebuilding year.
Yes.
Because they lost a lot of cast members, including Fred Armisen, Jason Sudeikis, Bill Hader, who was my favorite of the cast members.
Stefan, oh.
Yeah. And
Fred Armisen is a huge loss.
Yeah, and at some point later on this year, they're going to be losing Seth Meyers, who does, primarily the news.
That's all he does in face value, but it's really going to hurt to lose him as a writer.
Yeah, he's the head writer, yeah. So he's going to move over and take over late night from Jimmy Fallon when Jimmy Fallon takes over The Tonight Show. So,
this is mean, but I kind of hope that flops and then he comes back to SNL to be a writer.
Yeah, I kind of don't think that's going to happen, but... But they can always bring characters back for visits and stuff. It makes me wonder if when they do the final episode with Seth, if Bill Hader's going to show up as Stefan and be like, "Come, my darling," and they could go off into the sunset together, because they did that whole bit at the end of last season where Stefan and...
I didn't see that.
Oh,
yet.
Okay.
I'm gonna go back and catch up on the rest of last season.
They gave Stefan a send off, which was awesome. So you just look forward to seeing that when you get caught up. Overall, it's like this is the period of time when new cast members arrive on the show where I don't have all of their names memorized yet.
Mm-mm.
So the only
I suppose this is how this goes with new cast members, but none of them are particularly impressive. There was this one that has kind of the he kind of doesn't look like an actor. He kind of just looks like an IT guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of worry about him. Every time I've seen him in anything, he just seemed nervous, and
yeah,
I worry about him. But I like some of the newer cast members that they're not brand new.
I love Jay Farrow, especially his principal character, whose name I can never remember, but they do those sketches where he comes up as the principal.
A bunch of
citizen students. There are two children. There are two teenagers inside a lion costume having sex with each other or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I love those bits with him. I think Cecily Strong is just crushing it on Weekend Update. She is awesome.
I really
at the
like
news.
The one chick with the dimples, the blonde chick.
Yeah, I'm trying. I can't remember her
name. She's kind of like the new, like, what was the bridesmaids?
Melissa McCarthy?
No, the head. The blonde.
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, she's okay. Kind of like the new Kristen Wiig of the show in a way.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, I've just been enjoying, I've really liked it. The first episode, although you probably didn't, you know, get the full joke of it, when they had, what's his name, the actor's name, Aaron Paul, I think, who played Jesse on Breaking Bad, showed up for some awesome cameos in the opening episode of the season, because it aired the night before Breaking Bad's finale, so it was so cool to see him show up and do some bits as Jesse Pinkman in Saturday Night Live.
I think I got that there was something that I didn't get. That was all I got.
And then they did the E-Meth fake meth cigarette commercial.
Yeah.
It ends with him going, E-Meth, you know it's good because it's blue, bitch. Oh, it's like, what a great character, and it's over. There's not going to be any more Breaking Bad ever, and that sucks because I so totally want Jesse to have his own show. But whatever.
I didn't know that. I mean, I've never seen the show, and I don't know what it's about, but I didn't know that it was ending.
No, yeah, that was why it was kind of a big deal to have him on the show, is because he was showing up the night before of the series finale.
Because they
went like six seasons.
I'm so out of touch.
I mean, it's a show that, you know, it's one of those shows that, like, it's to the point of being annoying where everyone's like, oh my god, Breaking Bad is such a great show, and like, because everyone's telling you how great the show is, you're like, oh god, shut the hell up, and it makes you not want to watch it, but you'll really enjoy it if you start watching it. Yeah. And there's funniness in it, too.
I was going to retract what I said earlier. There is one brand new cast member that I think has promise. It's that the one long-haired dude, the curly long hair. He's kind of short.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done some good bits, and I think he has potential. The other ones just are either not standing out or standing out as being not very good.
Yeah. The most recent episode was Lady Gaga, who was both the host and the musical guest, and she did a lot of great stuff where she was, like, you know, kind of making fun of herself and everything.
Yeah, so. I like Miley Cyrus making fun of herself, and I especially love Amanda Bayer.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Miley Cyrus. I love that character.
Yeah.
I've loved that one since I first saw it.
So, yeah. But anyway, so generally speaking, you know, yes, it's a rebuilding year. Not everything works perfectly.
Yeah, it's not as good as it's been, but it's still worth watching.
Yeah, it's still got promise, and I'm sure these new cast people will come more into their own as time goes on.
Should we talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Let's see. All right, yeah, we can talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I like it.
I enjoy it. I find it quite enjoyable.
Kyle has now, like, said that on the Toons podcast. When we talk about things, I'll say, what did you think, Kyle? And he'll say, I find it quite enjoyable. So he's pinching your catchphrase. To me, it almost seems like it's premature to judge it too harshly now. I know there's been, like, a ton of internet articles, like,
a lot of people are like, it sucks, I can't stand it.
It's like, you know, like, four or five episodes aired, and then all of a sudden there's all these articles like, you know, here's how to fix Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, and to me it's like, they actually gave it a full 22-episode order. Why don't we let Joss and Jed and Marissa, is that her name?
I don't know.
Why don't we let them like, you know, actually have their whole first season and see how this long story arc is going to unfold before we start declaring it, you know, like, oh, it sucks, it's too slow, it's not, you know, it's like let them do their thing.
I don't like the one,
the main agent guy.
Yeah,
like the young hot agent dude.
He's so boring, you know. Yeah. I don't think he's hot at all, but I like all the other characters.
The newest episode with him shows a glimpse into his past that might indicate that maybe there's some interesting character development for him in the future.
Like I said on my Facebook, I'm hoping the whole reason he exists is so that Joss can kill off a main character and make people sad.
See, but yeah, but that's not really the case, because Joss tends to, you know, kill off whoever your favorite character is.
That's what Kiki said, and I said I hope maybe this will be the exception to the rule. But
well, you never.
I'm gonna keep watching, and
the most recent episode
time provides. Maybe I'll watch some other damn things.
The most recent episode, they snuck in a sly reference to Dollhouse, which I enjoyed, but. You know, but yeah,
I'm sure I won't get it.
But you know, all in all, I think it's really cool that they've, you know, how they aren't pretending that the cinematic universe doesn't exist. They reference it often enough that it's like, yeah, we're all part of the same thing. And the most recent episode, you know, they timed it so that it. You know, what they're doing in that episode goes along with what's happened in the Thor sequel that just came out.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I hope that that continues to be a thing. Like, whenever Captain America the Winter Soldier comes out, I certainly hope that, you know, there's correlating things happening at the same time the episodes are airing, you know, to go along with all that. That would, you know, I'm hoping that's what their intention is, because, you know... It's like, as fans of stuff, we are finally getting the thing we wanted, which was, wouldn't it be cool if there was a TV show and a movie and it all tied together and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know.
Now you have one.
Now we have one. And
stop
all people,
bitching for 5
yeah,
minutes.
All people can do is complain about it because nobody knows how to be a fan anymore. So, you know.
Nobody except for Luke.
And Ian.
what else do we need to do in this episode?
Well,
I want
at
to
this,
eat this salad.
Well, there's comments to be read. So
we're
going
to do that at this juncture?
Well, yeah, why don't we read the comments from episode 92? And the episode 92 was Ceiling Fan Aficionado, the one where the first half is me and Jared talking about Archon on the way home, and the second half is... at Carrie's house with Ken talking about your trip to the Twin Cities.
Okay.
So yeah, this and this are the comments for episode 92.
Okay.
So why don't you start?
Number 11 says, most people who pay their dues don't get anything more than a steady meal ticket. The system doesn't owe anybody anything. Just keep doing what you do. It sounds like you have a lot of great ideas for the future.
Thank you,
number 11.
Yes. And there'll be more from him in a second. Goofy Gary Arnold says, Kyle and Luke talk about Cartoons Master List. Oh boy, another Lukeski podcast master list because he obsesses over such things project. Count me in, because listening to podcasts is what I do, and I need to catch up on the Fumpcast archive next anyway. Many blessings in all your general directions. Dementedly yours, Gary. And then number 11 replied to that.
Number 11 replies, I already started a Talk About Toons list. It has all Kyle's appearances that are listed in the episode description, including side projects. I scanned for the start times by listening at 8 times speed. I thought it might be helpful to add a description of what's discussed, but I haven't gotten very far with that. Go ahead and take over this if you like, as I'm going to be busy, and he provides the link. It's amusing to follow the origin of the jingle in the first few episodes, but surely the alienate half of the audience line is no longer a concern for the new podcast. Probably no longer a concern.
Yeah, there's probably going to be an updated version of the theme song in the relatively near future. So, yeah. Goofy Gary Arnold says, number 11, thanks. Please send me your database, and I'll get it posted onto Google Docs and continue the effort, and then Lisa's email address. And I have seen the database, and wow, it's mind-blowing. I can't believe they went into so much detail on our...
And you only have how many episodes?
Well, no, it's like, we've only posted 3 episodes of the New Tunes podcast, what they're doing is listening to all the Fumpcast episodes, and every time Kyle and I did a segment on the Fumpcast, they're documenting what time it starts in the episode and all the topics that are discussed within that thing. So yeah, they are going way above and beyond the Call of Duty.
Holy crap.
And the reason I asked them to do it is because whenever...
I told you guys really needed to actually have a podcast.
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to do that is because I wanted to, when the proper full Luke and Kyle, you know, kyleandluke.com is up, but it's basically just an RSS feed at this point. We want to get we're going to have a proper website eventually, and when we have the proper website, I want to put up, you know, I want to take their information and turn it into a web page so that new fans can go to this and, like, look back at, like, you know, here's the links to all these episodes and when these things start. So if they want to go back and hear our past discussions, there's a database of that that makes it easy for them to find things and listen to it. And also so that we can find things and listen to it if we decide we want to revisit a topic we've talked about before.
Yeah.
So thank you so much to Bob and Gary and everyone else involved in making yet another super anal retentive list.
I'm hungry. Can I keep reading?
Keep reading.
Okay. You already read
yeah,
this.
We're at Ken.
Okay. Madman on the Loose, Ken Sherlock says, glad to hear that the Luke and Kyle conversations originating on this and the Fumpcast are now a podcast on their own. Archon to me seems different than any other con. My favorite part of Archon is also the masquerade, since the contestants there bring more to their costume, and mostly without having to speak. As Gen Con is Gen Con is to amazing work on the costumes, Archon is that way with the performances in the contest. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken. Father Beast says, Luke, do you realize that with the publication of Worst Tribute Ever, you have now become the ideas man? You come up with the ideas and make these sort of first drafts of them, i.e. your songs, and then other people have taken your ideas and put out the ultimate versions of your songs. And I'm sure there will be a bunch of people who don't get in on the fun of Worst Tribute Ever. Oh, wait. I'm sure there will be a bunch of people who didn't get in on the fun of Worst Tribute Ever and will want their chance, prompting the inevitable publication of Worst Tribute Ever 2, Worst Sequel Ever. In about 8 to 10 years, around the time of the publication of Worst Tribute Ever 3, Worst Trilogy Ever, the great Luke T will be known as a songwriter that wrote a huge pile of songs that people found just amazing when they were performed and made popular by a whole bunch of other comedy artists. I'm rather looking forward to seeing this all come out, and of course listening to all those amazing songs. So, thank you, Father Beast.
Thank you.
And, you know, I would like to think there's at least some percentage of my work that is, you know, just fine the way it is.
Yes, there is.
As I said before, many of those tracks on Worst Tribute Ever are total improvements upon the original, and I think that's awesome. It's so totally awesome. So, we have one more that came into us as a email. Want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
We read the last one.
I did. So here, you read this email from
Elizabeth Carnes says, as someone who also goes to conventions about 13 to 15 a year, trying to evaluate when to go and not to go to a show can sometimes be tough. We run miniature games and sell pewter at them, and they are all stuff we produce in-house. All of us have full-time jobs as well. How do you tell when a show makes sense to go to and when to call it quits? Any other advice for those of us looking to axe their 9-to-5 jobs? I know you have talked about it before and really appreciate your insight. Speak the truth, even if your voice trembles. And I like that line.
Yes. Although, I think the last line may have just been, like, the thing that's on her, like, signature that just goes at the end of every message. I don't...
Okay. It just kind of blended in.
Yeah. So...
Still, I like it.
Yeah.
You're going to respond to advice for quitting axing a 9-to-5 job, but which you've never done. You've never had a 9-to-5 job to axe.
I worked at Toys R Us and I worked at Blockbuster. Those were full-time jobs, you know, so basically the thing that gave me the courage to quit those jobs was knowing that I had a safety net in my mother, because back in 2005, it was more like Christmas of 2004. She was basically kind of, you know, usually the cliche is, you know, someone's trying to be in a band or something, and, you know, the parents are going like, why do you waste your time with being in a band? You're never going to get anywhere. You need to get a full-time job. And that's not my mother. My mother is, why are you wasting your time at these stupid jobs when you should be concentrating on your art and your company?
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I
love it.
Because I got bills to pay. So basically, I kind of said to my mom, well, look, if you agree to be there, if I need trouble, if I need money to get the rent and the bills paid or whatever, if you'll be my safety net and back me up, I'll quit Blockbuster and I will attempt to make a go at doing just art and comedy as my way of making a living. And that was, you know, January of 2005. I literally left Blockbuster, you know, at the end of 2004, so that I could start 2005 with that being my attempted vocation. And I've been hanging in there, I think, fairly well ever since. So it's hard for me to give you any practical advice on leaving your 9-to-5 job, because the thing that gave me the courage to leave mine was knowing that I had a safety net, and you may not have such a safety net. So I don't know. Anyway, so
that's what I needed to be able to quit and be a full-time mom.
Yeah,
you know, my husband is my safety net.
Yeah,
per se.
You know, and Sarah, you know, is you know, there for me. I mean, it's I do my best to, you know,
Sarah
pay my fair
share. Yeah, brings home more bacon.
Yeah. So.
Ohio man randomly attacked and beaten at the laundromat, and I think. Somewhere in there, going to clean your clothes. Ohio man beats Ohio man, but Ohio man was unprovoked. Ohio man charged with shooting a robot, so I guess you could say the robot was mega.
Normal idle chatter deep inside of me.
babe, how's it going?
Fine.
How was your day?
Good.
Ooh, what are your views on gun control?
Varied.
Ah, crap.
One word answer.
This is gonna be bad.
One word answer.
Why is she so damn
one
mad?
Word answer.
I know I should run. Cause I'm getting one word answers from you. I'll never find what's behind this drama I just got trapped in. Cause it could be anything that has or will ever happen. It could be something I said, a TV show, or a dream that's causing this mess. I'll start throwing out guesses, baby. Just blink twice for yes.
Is it what I said about your mother coming to visit? It's because I've been working late all night this week. Is it the car? You want to go for a ride in the car?
This could go on all night.
I would rather just fight. I'd rather get none instead of just one word answers from you. I'd rather have a riot than a bearable quiet while I'm walking through this field full of minds. Cause all the words she doesn't
talk about this now while the cab is waiting to take me to the airport for a work trip, and you had all last night to tell me why you were pissed.
One word answers.
Like a fart in the room.
One word answers.
Each word spells your doom.
One word answers.
I should need a gun when I get one word answers from you.
One word answers.
Run from your wife.
One word answers.
Go start a new life. When I get one word answers from you.
I'm so glad that that's all out to you. I really feel like we lost those people. I think we should be people that are in relationships where we feel more free. I know it took 6 hours, but you know, 6 hours is well spent, don't you think?
Whatever.
What's at the Fump? Well, there's I'm Sorry by Insane Ian, Free Water by Redbox and the Chili Peppers, Here Comes My Baby by Phil Johnson and Roadside Attraction, What's in My Hot Dog Live by Steve Goody, Super Monkey Ball by Insane Ian, Future Fighters by Positude, Stressing Out by Sea Monkey, and Who Is the Doctor by Devo Spice. That's the first track from his forthcoming album, I Am the Doctor. So, what else can we talk about here on the What's Luke Plugging Now segment? How about, please go request my song When You Wish Upon a Death Star for the Dr. Demento show. Especially if you're hearing this, you know, the instant it uploaded, like the same day. If you're hearing this right away after it posted, please go request When You Wish Upon a Death Star for the Dr. Demento show at drdemento.com/request, and please include your email address so it counts towards the tabulations for the top 10 for November of 2013. This will be the last top 10 of the year, so it's my last push to try to get When You Wish Upon a Death Star on the top 10, so maybe it'll climb up the Funny 25 charts a couple more notches. So if you could do that, I'd really appreciate it. Anyway, other things to plug. MarsCon 2014, just to give the quick recap, who's performing there? Beth Kinderman and the Player Characters, Carrie Dalby, Devo Spice, Insane Ian, The Great Luke's Key, Possible Oscar, Power Salad, TV's Kyle, and Worm Quartet, as well as music guest of honor Henry Phillips and the crew of Meet Morph Studios doing their Q&A about the documentary Under the Smogberry Trees, including Dr. Demento himself joining in for the Q&A. He'll also be doing an autograph session. And on top of all that, it's MarsCon. I don't need to recap a billion times why you need to go to this thing. It's freaking MarsCon. So please go. Pre-registration for a weekend badge is $50 right now. The price will increase on February 1st, so get your badge before midnight on January 31st, 2014 to get it at the $50 price. The main convention website is MarsCon.com. The Dementia Track website is MarsConDementia.com, and it'll be held at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel, Bloomington, Minneapolis South, in Bloomington, Minnesota, the Twin Cities area, March 7th, 8th, and 9th, 2014. 2014. So it's MarsCon. Be there. Kyle and Luke Talk About Tunes podcast episodes number 3 and 4 are posted. Number 3 is about Despicable Me 2. Number 4 is about Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. So go check that out at kyleandluke.com. You can leave comments for us at our Facebook page, facebook.com/kyleandluke. There's also the Funny Music Podcast, of course. Recent episodes included interviews with Redbox and Chili Peppers, Steve Goody and St. Ian, EMC of Positude, and Sea Monkey. You can get that at thefump.com/podcast.php. What else? Tour dates. Other than MarsCon, which we already talked about, I will be performing at RadCon 6B, which is in Pasco, Washington, at the Red Lion Inn. Their website is radcon.org, RADCON.org. I'll be their music guest of honor, and I've never been out to that particular part of the country, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Chi-Fi, like Chicago, like begins with C-H-I, Chicago. So it's Chi-Fi 2014, which is at chi-fi.org, chi-fi.org, taking place at the Westin Chicago River North in Chicago, Illinois, March 27th through 30th, 2014. The Fump will be rocking at Chi-Fi. Come see the Great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, The Gothsicles, Mark Gunn and Rob Balder, do nerdy comedy music concerts, and or talk about webcomics. So, add that to your calendar. FumpFest 2014. The website is FumpFest.com. It's at the Westin Chicago North Shore in Wheeling, Illinois, June 20th through 22nd, 2014. TheGreatLukeSki.com, still my website. You can still go there and get merchandise like Luke Ski's Puppet Videos Volume 1 DVD, Worst Tribute Ever, the two-disc tribute album that came out back at Luke Ski Con, Bad Report Best of 2012 CD, and all my other classic albums. You can also get the free MP3 of the week, which right now is Black Friday. It's probably not that at this point, but in any case, go there, check out, see what's happening, thegreatlukeski.com. Caricatures, if you would like to hire me to draw at your party or event in the Chicagoland tri-state area, the details for that are at artbylukeski.com. Also, you can hire me to draw a caricature or cartoon for, you know, a Christmas card or, you know, a holiday thing or some other form of gift, whatever, we can do it all. Go to artbylukeski.com for details. You can also see a lot more of my work at artbylukeski.deviantart.com. And of course, the Dr. Demento Show. It's still the best show ever. You can listen to it at drdemento.com/online.html. And if you'd like to request a song, as we said before, drdemento.com/request. Please include your email address when requesting, and it's still the best show ever. As I said, I listen to it every week, and you should too. One more thing I want to plug before I go is when I listen to the Bad Report episodes after they post, I always take notes on my favorite little moments in the show for possible inclusion in the Best Of CD that I make the following year. Well, I know I listened to episode 92, but I cannot find my notes on it. So if any of you people out there who like to re-listen to podcasts, and I know that some of you do, if any of you were willing to re-listen to episode 92 and make some notes on your favorite funny moments from that episode and then send them to me, I'd really appreciate it. Just basically leave, like, the time, you know, at 1 hour and 23 minutes, you know, Luke said, blah, 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 and then Carrie smacked him or whatever. Let me just give me brief descriptions of that and the times where they happen, and email them to me at thegreatlukeski@gmail.com, and I can add them to my list. All right, that has been What's Luke Plugging Now. Let's get back to the end of the show. Anyway,
let's wrap it up.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening, and of course, if you want to leave us comments, please do that at badreport.com, badreport.com, and we'll read your comments on the show approximately 2 episodes from now, because that's the new way we're doing it. But please do leave us comments, and also leave us voicemail at 916-LUKESKI, that's 916-585-3754. So, thank you for listening. Please let us know what you think of the new format. Hopefully, you will like it. So, until next time, this is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's
Bad Rapport,
episode 94.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
No one respects a slave unless he's played by Morgan Freeman. And no one respects a Nazi unless he's played by Ray Fiennes. And no one respects a queer unless he's played by Tom Hanks. And no one respects an Indian or a Jew unless they're played by Ben Kingsley. Ben Kingsley. Ben Kingsley. That no one respects an Indian or a Jew unless they're played by Ben Kingsley. And no one respects a fat man by John Goodman. And no one respects a retard unless he's played by Leonardo DiCaprio. And no one respects a woman unless she's played
Robin Williams.
By shut up, Joe.
Maybe Flip Wilson.
That's not good. No,
all the members of Monty Python.
Excuse me. These are all men playing women. So no one respects a man. Wait, no one respects a woman unless it's a man playing a woman.
Wait, what about Ethel?
They were really good, I thought.
Yeah, okay, you guys. You know what? Just
Robin Williams.
Just forget it. One, two, three. No one respects a slave unless it's played by Morgan Freeman. No one respects a Nazi unless it's played by Ray Fiennes. And no one respects a queer unless it's played by Tom Hanks. And no one respects one under or under unless it's played by Ben Kingsley. And no one respects a Batman unless it's played by John Goodman. And no one respects a retard unless it's played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Respects a woman ever. And no one respects an Indian or a Jew unless they're played by Ben Kingsley. Unless they're played by Ben Kingsley. Unless they're played by Ben Kingsley. He
I was a little boy, I've always been a little bit different than all my friends, especially men. I've always been a bit of a misfit. Other boys were so aggressive, I was just so sensitive. Passionate about arts and crafts, I had so much to give. I never liked football, never played sports, but I love musical theater, of course. Wouldn't go camping or hunting, the straights so often misread all of these traits as being gay. But I'm not gay, baby, I'm just a Tom girl. It's cause I was raised by a single mother. Mama taught me about the movies, mostly watching costume dramas. Got a taste for playing dress up, but fighting? Oh, no chance. I played with G.I. Joes, but all of my stories had romance. Today I'm much the same, but maybe more so I think. At any age, given the option of blue, I'll always choose pink. I read fashion magazines for the celebrity gossip. I love America's Next Top Model, my girlfriends won't even watch it. And on my list of guilty pleasures, enter near the top would be the dashing Hugh Grant acting in romantic comedy. I'm not some odd anomaly. I gotta be me, and he is a Tom girl.
imaginary braids. I'm a Tom girl, baby, tonight. And if you see me skipping down your street, give me a thumbs up and I'll be like, sweet. Give me a high five, step aside, I'll be on my way. I'm a Tom girl, baby, okay. And a cry, oh my God, how I cry. At the drop of every dime, it's like I'm crying all the gosh darn time. But I don't really mind, baby, it's fine, cause I'm a Tom girl. Ladies and gentlemen, on the organ solo, Mr. Dave Famous. Dour. I do a thing that seems silly. I send myself flowers. My faves are stargazer lilies. My whole apartment smells like lavender after I dream about going out in a ponytail and a tank top with a bra strap showing. No one claims that I'm a woman in the body of a man, but that said, I tend to favor all of my transgendered fans. You may ask, why don't you cross-dress? I'm sure you'd look cute. I say I do, because the women I want are the ones who wear suits. Shoot, I get uncomfortable when people call me Mr. Got a Girl, and I can't help but kick my toe up when I kiss her. If I had 50 sisters, I couldn't be more of a Tom girl. I'm a Tom girl, baby, alright. I'm just a Tom girl swinging my imaginary braids. I'm a Tom girl, baby, tonight. And if you see me skipping down your street, give me a thumbs up and I'll be like, sweet. Give me a high five, step aside, I'll be on my way. I'm a Tom girl, baby, okay. It's safe to say that I'm more than a bit of a feminine touch. I just relate to ladies better than the gentleman and such. And guess what? That's why your girlfriends love me so much. Cause I'm a Tom girl.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hey, where the hell's my banana thing?
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time. Way yeah, way yeah.
Oh, oh my God. Oh, Stewie, that is so funny. Oh, I did not see that coming. But that was my thing.
I'm pretty sure it was the internet's thing.
Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.